feet tall. I want to love her like a butterfly, just like a dolly doll. You just heard a snippet of the current single Blame It on the Double off the new Nashville Nights EP by country rising star Corey Marks here on Music's Journey. Corey Marks' debut album Who I Am has garnered tremendous attention here in Canada and across the globe for its signature blend of hard-hitting anthems and deep, soulful tracks. And along with 100 million streams worldwide, it has been nominated for the CCMA Alternative Country Album of the Year. Who I Am boasts the Smash Gold certified hit Outlaws and Outsiders featuring Travis Tritt, Ivan Moody, and Mick Mars. The song landed at number one on the Canadian iTunes Country Songs chart and made Corey Marks the first ever Canadian country artist to have a top 10 in U.S. rock radio. Here to talk about his current single and his first ever CCMA nominations for Alternative Country Album of the Year is country rising star Corey Marks. Welcome to the show, Corey.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Hanging in there. You got lots of snow up there, I hear.
Yeah. We got belted with quite a bit the last couple of days, and it feels a lot more like Christmas now, though, so I don't mind.
I hear you. First off, congratulations on your CCMA nom. That is amazing.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was... It's nice to be recognized by the CCMA and, you know, be part of, Canadian country's biggest stage.
Well, you know what? Like they say, once you're nominated, it's a part of your musical journey forever, right? There's only
That's two, right.
Nom and win. And we definitely know that win's coming around the corner.
I hope so.
Oh, guaranteed.
I hope so. I appreciate it.
That's a guarantee. You and I go way back when it comes to you playing at the local bars. You have been hustling and working so hard this past 10 years on your music. And it's so amazing to see you coming full circle and really coming into your sound and staying true to who you are.
It's been quite a journey. And as you know, quite the roller coaster ride. And it's finally nice to, you know, to really be making this kind of progress and impact on the industry here in Canada, of course, but in country music in general. And, it's been really exciting especially the last 4 or 5 years. But I know that without those empty seats that I used to play to and those bars with, you know, half-assed sound systems and for the most part never any monitors and stuff, it definitely shapes and molds you, ultimately becoming a better artist, to kind of get those struggles out of the way and live through them, just to know how really blessed you are once you get to this level, and you know, just how fun it can really be.
Well, I think all the biggest artists in the world will tell you how they did that grind, you know, for years, and the music industry wants you to do that grind. So they see that you really invest yourself into your career and making sure that they've got a long time artist. And that's how the big ones make it.
Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, there's a lot of artists these days where they are, even labels have these, development type deals. And for the most part, it can be anywhere from one single to, you know, maybe a handful, and it just seems they disappear.
Mm-hmm.
That's ultimately not a career I want to have. I've been doing this for a solid 10 years now, you know, been traveling back and forth in Nashville since 2011 or 12, been playing in bars since then as well, and just grinding away. So it's really sweet to be on, I'm very thankful for the tours I got to be on over the years. And now finally breaking into America it's been a lot of fun. And obviously, the pandemic's put quite a halt on that, but hopefully when this everything gets kind of back to normal, there'll be a lot more of those shows across the U.S. as well.
The future looks pretty bright for you, my friend, and you are just on that cusp of blowing the doors off country music, both on the radio as well as in this industry and on both sides of the border. So it's coming. And you,
I appreciate it.
You've made that mark yourself. You've stayed true to your sound. You stayed true to your influences. And we've talked an awful lot about that in the past and who really meant something to you. And looking at those artists that really went against the grind, that cookie cutter mold for so many years, and really didn't know whether or not they were going to make it. And, you know, they said, no, I'm going to do this. I'm doing it my way. And you're doing it your way, and you are killing it. And, you know, congratulations for all that.
thank you, Kim. I appreciate it. And, you know, most of all, thanks to the fans for finding my music and listening to it, sharing it. And of course, you know, turning it up as loud as their speakers will go.
Well, they kind of have to with you. You know, that rock influence just, you know, it's just changing everything and it always evolves, right? But it just brings Absolutely. It back to a new sound and everybody is loving it. You can hit it on rock and you can hit it on country and you're going to do amazing either way.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Which is pretty cool. You just attended your CCMAs with Emily. What was that like for you?
Mm-hmm. It was nice, you know. As you know, as a little more of a mature gentleman, if you will, you know, I haven't been to the CCMA since I believe 2016. So I think that was my fourth or fifth one that I actually attended, and it was quite different. I mean,
yeah, you presented that year. I remember you going up on stage and presenting.
Yeah, well, I think that was the CMAOs in 2016.
Okay,
and that was in. Where was it? That was London as well, mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was the last time I was in London. So yeah, that would have been the CMAOs. But yeah, it was cool. It's always found it. That was one reason why, in a sense, I kind of stayed away from it because I find there's a lot of clickiness, if you will. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just, you know, I would rather say hi to someone because, you know, I want to say hi to them or I truly feel, you know, like they're, you know, give credit where credit is due. You know, there's, you know, I love meeting new people too, but you know what I mean? I just mm-hmm. find there's a lot of, you're not sure if you could take what they're saying seriously sometimes, you know, are they just saying it because you're right there or do they actually mean what they say? And you know how those things go, all the schmoozing that goes on. And
yeah.
It's fun, but you know, and not to mention that everybody's half cut throughout that whole weekend. So,
especially this year.
Yeah, they could honestly be saying that and meaning that, or it could be their buddy Jack Daniels saying meaning that. Then they'll just forget about it the next day. But no, it was a lot of fun. It was great to see, you know, some old friends, some old faces, and some new ones too. It was a good time.
Especially after, you know, this last year and a half, this pandemic has really, you know, set things back for all the artists. And, you know, I know it mm-hmm. definitely has for you. You missed yeah. an awful lot of shows, big shows that you had planned. Definitely a difficult year, but hopefully 2022, we're going to see those tours back on the booking chart.
Yeah, well, that's what we're hoping for. I know my agent, Jim Cressman and Scott Sokol are working on both sides of the border right now. And we're going to, you know, try to make some noise again on both sides of the border live and even across the pond, like we originally had planned and booked in Australia, like you mentioned. We had some potential dates in the UK, Germany, and France, and even Italy. So that was to watch those all disappear. I mean, between Europe and North America, we had about 100 shows, and there was 40 across the US that were either stadium tours amphitheater tours or arena shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, but I know I'm not the only one, so it's you know, it sucks, but it is what it is, and now we'll just get geared up and locked and loaded for 2022 and get back out on the road and do what we do.
I know that we've had these talks before, but, you know, sometimes things happen for a reason, and we may not be as ready, and we may not see that whole picture to the mm-hmm. reasons why it's not happening right in this moment for so many of the artists out there. But you know what? Sometimes when we step back a little bit more, we have more time to reflect, especially this last year and a half, and being able to take a look at what's really important, have more time to be able to hone in on your skills, be able to really think things through. Because when you're touring like that, it is so busy for you guys. And mm-hmm. it's so difficult to be able to cut out all the noise, be able mm-hmm. to focus on your music and your recording, getting into the studios, the writing especially, and being able to, you know, go out there and do it a little bit more laid back and being able to spend some more time working on all that stuff, honing your skills, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Once you're on the road, like for me, especially, you know, I'm just all in 100% and I give it, you know, we're full throttle every night. So after, you know, like we did in the past across Canada with Aaron Pritchett, you know, I had, direct support for him, and you know, had a 45-50 minute show, but it was, you know, 10 or 11 songs that were full throttle, then plus the encore at the end of the night. And, you know, we did have something like 25 shows, and it was under 35 days or something like that. So
doesn't surprise me with Aaron.
Yeah, it gets, you know, it's I'll never forget about that. That tour definitely shaped me, and Aaron definitely taught me a lot of things. And, you know, he's just such a great dude and an incredible performer as well. So
great entertainer.
Great entertainer and just lots of energy. He's great, and he's a dear friend of me, and I'm forever thankful for that tour, not only because of the experience and for what he did for me, but the title of that tour allowed me to think of a great hook in a song, and you know, became my biggest hit today, and a global
golden
at that, and a gold record here in Canada. So
that's right.
Yeah, it's the road is a lot of fun nonetheless, and I can't wait to get back out.
When we have more time, we're gonna spend some time talking about some of those road stories. Those are the best.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, you'll have to make sure that the listeners are well aware of the content that might come up. You might have to rate it a little differently.
Well, we have the podcast version, and then we have, you know, the show that we do for 91.3. So, yeah, we kind of have to watch what we're doing a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
Now, for the peers, you've got to feel so amazing to see all that you've accomplished. And as I said, it's been hard work, but, man, it's paid off. To have the peers in this industry take a look at you and have such support for everything that you're doing. And for your sound, the way that you're doing this, someone like Jim Kressman, man, it doesn't get any better than that. And like you mentioned, you know, Aaron Pritchett, he has been such a mentor for so many of the artists coming up. And he is just a stand-up guy when it comes to entertainment, but also his values when it comes to his music and his fans.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I've been pretty, you know, just like you said earlier, I think everything happens for a reason. And I think there's a reason these artists and these industry folk come into my life, and ultimately my career. I think most of all, the biggest thing that I love about them is they get it, they understand it, and you know, accept it, if you will. So I've been really really lucky that way. Like you mentioned, I have someone like Jim Kressman hop on board and see the big picture and kind of share the same end goal as I do. And guys like Aaron Pritchett, knowing that, you know, at the time, it's like, you know, this young buck would be a great opener, you know, a little rock feel, but still country as hell. So to get up and do my thing for 50 minutes every night before he does his for an hour and a half to 2 hours, you know, I'm very, very blessed for those things and for those relationships. But there's also the American guys that allowed me to do that too, like Brantley Gilbert and Toby Keith. So it's been, and not to mention, right prior to COVID, you know, we did two sold out shows back to back at the Moncton Casino with Travis Tritt. So that was, you know, that was really special.
That had to have been such an aha moment for you to meet Travis, knowing how much you absolutely loved him. You know, when he was a big part of your influence. I know that Waylon Jennings, like so many of them. Merle Haggard, you know, somebody that I used to hear you sing all the time. And those were huge, huge influences. And again, they are ones that broke that cookie mold.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, for those that don't know, you look at Merle Haggard and, you know, him and Buck Owens, you know, they created the Bakersfield sound, because everything was kind of where it is now in country music, where it was kind of popularized, if you will. You know, there was a lot of same sounding artists and songs, and they wanted to break that mold and ultimately created a whole new thing. And then here comes Dwight Yoakam not long after that, because of them. You know, it was another legendary artist, thanks to artists like them who broke the mold and decided to go different, you know, pave a different path for country music. And, you know, as you know, Travis Tritt was not only a huge fan of Waylon Jennings, but a great friend of Waylon Jennings. So, you know, there's a really cool connection there. I mean, it's pretty cool to be hanging with a country icon like that. who has met and hung with those heroes that I wish I would have, you know, or could have. But you know, we got Travis Tritt too, so who is ultimately going to be one of, not already is one of those country music heroes like Waylon Merle was, right? So to have guys like that in my corner, and not only, you know, believe in me and my music, but to be able to call them a friend's pretty special to me.
Man, just to think of when you went back for your first Nashville writing trip, and then to see where you are today, and all that you've accomplished. Don't ever forget that when you look at all these times where, you know, things get canceled and you're waiting for things to open up and you're just itching to get back out on the road to play live, which is a big deal right now. You know, just remember everything you've accomplished. And that's pretty special. Really, really special.
Well, I appreciate that. And it's definitely, you know, some days it's harder to look back at that and you know, try to find those, you know, when you're in those dark days or hard days, it's hard to, you know, kind of focus on positive, but that's definitely one thing I've been trying to do lately. That's one thing that this whole COVID break has given me the opportunity to do, but also, you know, going into the new year, that's one of those things where just be grateful as much as you can. Mm-hmm. And like you said, know where you came from. You know, with me, you know, like Jim always calls me a winner, you know, like it's 'cause we achieved something, but I do feel very blessed, and I'm extremely thankful for everything. Mm. But I'm always up for being bigger and better. Not only my career, but as an artist and a person myself, you know, striving to be better and to achieve bigger things too.
When you're open like that, and you're willing to learn, and you're willing to evolve, you'll always get better and better and better. It's not only just the music end of it for you, you know, when it comes to, you know, being difficult this last year. You've had a silver lining in here, something that I knew, you know, was so special to you. And we talked about it a lot. And one of these days I'm going to get up in that plane with you, but you got your pilot's license. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's always been a dream come true for me since I was a little boy, going to air shows in North Bay. And, you know, they had the Heritage Festival, which was, you know, ironically, air show during the day and major concerts at night. And I think that's why I really grew up loving airplanes and aviation, but also loving music. You know, as you know, I was a drummer before this whole singer and songwriter thing. So, you know, I was wailing away on drums from about 10 years old before picking up a guitar and starting to strum in my later teens. But I've always dreamt of flying and, you know, and being a pilot. And so now to be able to do that, you know, kind of whenever I want, in a sense, it was a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, but like they say, nothing good or nothing great comes easy.
Have you taken Emily on a very special date?
I haven't gone on, well, somewhat, yeah. I mean, we flew up to Earlton, where my mom's from, and I I still have some family up there, and my uncle, God bless him, he was sick at the time and recently passed away.
Oh, I was so sorry.
Appreciate that. Yeah, it's always tough, you know, but I'm just thankful I got the opportunity to, as a kid, I always dreamt of going up there and, you know, did a couple low passes over the runway and had my family there to see that and to walk out of that plane and be greeted by them with hugs and love. It was a very special moment and that's something I'll never forget. And I look forward to doing more of that.
Man, the sky's the limit. Literally.
Exactly.
For what you can do, for what you're capable of. But that's pretty special to have. You know, you're right up there along with a few other ones, like Jason McCoy would be so happy to be around you too.
I talk a lot to Jason about it, and I think he's got to he's got a currency issue right now, so he's just got to get current again, and he'll be up flying in no time. I've talked
Good
to him
Lord,
about it.
The two of you. That's trouble.
Yeah.
That's trouble.
That could be interesting. And there's also George Cannon, who's also a pilot as well.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Have you been on the road with him?
I opened up for him back in 2015. He had a couple. I think he had a show in Barrie and one in Sudbury. And I was a special guest at his show. I didn't open up. I was a special guest halfway through his set. He'd have me come up and pay tribute to Merle Haggard, and I would sing "I'm a Triad" at his show.
Oh, did he play a practical joke on you?
No, you
really?
Know what? He didn't. He was very Man, he was great, and the way he introduced me on stage is something I'll never forget. He was very kind and humble, and really kind of made me a little nervous, to be honest, the way he would introduce me. So it was I knew I had to be good as soon as I opened my mouth. So I guess it was a good thing.
Oh man, you're lucky. My mouth just dropped when you said no, he didn't, because it's coming.
Yeah, it probably is. I'm sure it will be. As long as it has nothing to do with the planes, no practical jokes there.
Oh yes, let's hope not. Let's hope not. No, he'll get you. He will get you. It's just a matter of time. But you
I'll
just
keep
have
my
to
eyes open.
You just have to give it back, but he'll film you. I'm just telling you. Oh man. Now you started out with playing drums, as you said. Your dad and your mom are huge supports of music, and you spent an awful lot of time at concerts with your dad. And do you remember the first one you went to with him?
The first concert I went to with my dad, it's so hard to tell because, like, again, that Heritage Festival in North Bay, I remember I went to a show with my friend when I was a little kid. Like I would have been like 10 or 11 in North Bay. I think my parents were at that concert. But I went and hung out with my friend, and it was REO Speedwagon.
Oh, cool.
And I remember listening, back with LimeWire and all that stuff. My dad had burnt a bunch of CDs, and he burnt the greatest hits of REO. And I must have listened to that for probably over a year straight. I knew all of them. That's I'd be singing that every day. But one of my most memorable shows with my dad was going to see Rush together.
Yeah,
for the first
I thought
time.
that would be the one.
Yeah. That nice. Was definitely the one, and it's a moment I'll never forget.
Very cool. Is there an album that you've listened to recently from front to back? Do you remember the last one?
The last record I listened to front to back would be recently. Mm-hmm. Man, that's I've been listening to a lot of not a specific album, but just a shuffle of their songs. I've been listening to a ton of Hailstorm a ton of Van Halen, actually.
I listen to Van Halen always. It's one of the ones that if I'm doing a road trip that's more than an hour, Van Halen's going to be on that playlist somewhere.
It definitely helps. It definitely helps.
Absolutely. It's just a dying breed right now when it comes to people listening to an album from front to back.
Yeah, right. Well, that's one thing that I find extremely important, and that I really do try to mold my albums that way, that I make it a lot like a show. I try to mimic what I would do during a show. How do you keep the energy? How do you keep a good flow? And so if you listen to my records, especially Who I Am front to back, it's kind of, come out with a couple bangs and then bring it down a little bit, and you kind of come back up, and then you end with a big bang too. So, and I'm very, very proud to say that, Kevin, you look at all the albums he's worked on and all the artists he's worked with, hear him say that he's never skipped a song on my record, and he's always, he's never skipped a song, and he listens to it quite frequently front to back. I think it's extremely, extremely nice to hear.
Now you're talking about the very influential and award-winning producer Kevin Jerko. So he has done some amazing things. And how much has he influenced you in your career? Because he understands. He's coming from a drumming background too, right?
Yes. Kevin is, man, it's very ironic. Our very, very cool, our story. Both being drummers, both being outsiders. He was in a band as well before he started producing and all that. He was in a family band, which I thought was really cool. But then he started his own band, with his brothers and a few good friends. And they were a little on the rockier side too, which I didn't know until, I started working with him. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he's worked with two Northern artists, which one was extremely successful, and I hope the one he's working with now will be just as, or if not close to, successful. There's myself from North Bay, and then you go 4 hours up the road and you have Timmins, Ontario, where, mm-hmm. as we know, they're the home of Shania Twain. So he worked with Shania Twain and Mutt Lange on her records. And then, of course, another one of my biggest influences is Ozzy. He's written and produced two of his records as well. So He's just been not only an incredible producer, but an incredible friend since we officially met in 2015. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he always jokes around, too. That's one of those. He didn't sign me for my looks, my voice, or my songwriting. he saw me do a drum solo online, and I did this one-handed drum solo, and he's like, "That's the only reason why I signed you." So that's a funny story. I really enjoy talking about it, because I remember when he said that with a straight face, and I kind of didn't, you know, we didn't really know each other all that well at the time. And then, of course, he had a good laugh. And said, I'm just kidding.
Corey's going, oh, thank God.
yeah. But he's allowed me to, you know, do a lot of the drumming on the record too, which is really cool. So, to not only write these songs with him, to be able to share help with some of the melodies, and of course the drumming on the records has been a lot of fun too.
That's nice, because you get to wear a few hats. You know, when it comes to your own music, right? Your writing, and that has, you know, changed dramatically for you. You've really honed in that craft after 10 years mm-hmm. of putting in the yeah. grind for that, and how much it means to you to live your lyrics. And you definitely do that. And that's a really cool, you know, storytelling part of yourself as a great songwriter. And to be able to play the instruments on your own record, you want to keep that right in place, because that's something that mm-hmm. you know gives you that creative input, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's some things that I've written about that I hope I never have to go through again, but you know, it's almost like that saying, you got to go through hell before you get to heaven.
That's right,
a little bit. And I think everyone's been there, have had their own taste of mm-hmm. hell, if you will, mm-hmm. Before they get that little you know, that little piece of heaven. So
we yeah, wouldn't appreciate, you know, heaven when we get there if we didn't go through the hell, right?
Exactly. and you know, and sometimes it's a little fun too. So, you know, you got to make sure to have fun too while you're living. So I just try to write about, you know, mostly things that I've been through personally, or of course, close friends and family of mine have been through. And I kind of know the story, so I can kind of write it my own way. Sometimes it's as real as it gets. It's the actual story itself. So. Yeah.
And you're not writing for that cookie mold. And that's what I really respect. And you know what? You're staying true to that. And that's when the best music comes out. You know,
I like to think so. And like, you know, that's the biggest thing for me. I really hope to break that mold, not only for myself. I think there's a lot of talented artists out there and a lot of great songwriters that aren't being heard or aren't given a chance because they're not sounding like everybody else. And I think that's a very important thing as an artist, is to create art, to create sound and music, something a little different, you know. It could sound similar, of course, but I think it's very important, especially when you're first starting out, mm-hmm. to find that niche, to find that sound, that artist you want to be, if you will, and just keep dialing that in and keep working at that. And that's what I've done, and you know, I don't plan on changing that anytime soon.
Don't, you know what? The radio stations, you know, radio, they'll catch up. They always
do. I think they will.
They absolutely, they will, without a doubt, because the fans, you know, it's different, you know, just in this last 5 years, you know, with the digital streaming platforms and the fans really being able to get an idea of other music that the radio stations aren't playing. Mm-hmm. And look what happened. You've got a gold, right?
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter about the radio stations. They'll catch up. And you're not the first one, and certainly won't be the last. You know, when you're talking about Merle and all the greats, they mm-hmm. all went through this. Michelle Wright went through this. You know, yep. I just had her on, and she was talking an awful lot about this. You know, she kept getting told that she wasn't country enough. And so she went out there and she just kept playing for 6 years and didn't give up. And then finally got her shot, you know, but it's just, it takes time. And, you know, they'll eventually catch up, and they definitely will. You're breaking down those barriers, and you know what? You won't even have to worry about a cookie cutter format anymore. The new music comes along, and then you keep writing the way you are, and you keep playing. Man, you've got such a high energy show. I always knew that, you know, when I saw you playing. And you definitely don't disappoint live. You are an entertainer, and that is different than just being a singer-songwriter out there and an artist going out on a stage. That the live shows is what keeps the fans. You can go into a studio all you want, record mm-hmm. a great record, but unless you can perform and keep those fans that come out to see you. Those are the lifers, and that's what makes a great, great artist.
I agree, and that's one thing that I, you know, that I'm very passionate about and hold dearly is you know, it's just it's, like you said, it's one thing to write and record, but to be able to go out there and perform it, like the record, if not even better. That's one thing that I, you know, one thing I love hearing when we're able to tour back in another world at the time, you know, some of my fans that have seen me for the first time, I get a lot of, this is the first concert I've been to, and, or, you know, and they'll say, I really don't mean to insult you, but I feel like your live show is even better than your record. And I said, no, that's an absolute compliment in my opinion.
Nice.
We don't use auto-tune. We don't use any of that stuff. So if we're sounding better than, you know, a very well-produced record, if we're sounding better than that live, yeah, that's in no way an insult. I'll take that one every day.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's amazing. Now, you were on tour, as you said, with Aaron Pritchett, and that's where you also, you wrote the song Outlaws and Outsiders. Tell us about writing this one.
Well, it started on bus, discussing it with Jordan Pritchett, Aaron's son, after a few after show beverages, I guess, if you will.
Always.
I guess Jack was there too. No, I just thought it would be such a great punchline, like, we're the outlaws and outsiders. And you know, I kind of started writing that one a little bit, but later on that fall, you know, Kevin Kane and I started talking about that idea, and of course, they helped that idea become a reality and an even better song. So, you know, to be honest, that's the first song we ever wrote. So it's kind of a pinch me moment to think that the first song we wrote together is ultimately a great sign of what we can accomplish. You know, that being not only a hit here in Canada, not only a hit here in the U.S., but a hit in many different countries and territories. So I'm thankful for that forever.
And it was really cool to hear Travis's expression, you know, when he heard the song for the first time and wanting to be a part of that. And you know what? The other two special artists that you pulled in on this one as well. So congratulations to both you and Kevin. What a great song this has been for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell us about Travis and working with him on this and working with Ivan and working with Mick. Talk about that.
It's just been, man, it's been incredible. All three of those guys, Ivan, Mick, and Travis, have been, again, not only such a huge asset to this song and to my career and such a huge part of this song, you know, they've just been great friends since this whole journey began. You know, it wasn't more than about 3 weeks ago, I was on the phone with, who would have thought, Travis Tritt for, you know, it was almost 2 hours, just catching up and talking business. He's just been, you know, such a great mentor and, again, a great friend, you know, trying to help me out as much as he can and where he can. And Ivan as well. And just recently in the past month, you know, exchanging conversation with a guy like Mick Mars is pretty surreal. And seeing these guys post on their social medias, a gold record of a song that I wrote, you know, is just
full
and ultimately
circle.
Released. It's just full circle. And I just feel really blessed and thankful to have everyone from Kevin Kane, you know, the label that I'm on, and being them believing in me being the first and only country act on a hard rock label. You know, it's really it really is a blessing, and I'm thankful for all involved, of course, Mick Mars, Ivan Moody, and Travis Tritt.
Very, very cool. So excited. We're going to play it for you right now. Here is Outlaws and Outsiders by country artist Corey Marks, featuring Travis Tritt here on Music's Journey.
Got a gypsy soul, I'm a rebel and rogue, and I'm always on the run. With a fire inside, I ain't ever going to die, I'm a locked and loaded gun. When the match is striking, the gasoline lights, it's only just begun. Oh,
outsiders. I was born in the dark with a fearless heart and a taste for the other side. I was a crazy kid with all the stuff I did. I'm amazed I'm still alive. They thought I'd change with a little bit of age, but you know I never will. Takes too much time just to walk a straight line, and I don't have time to kill. Raise your fist up higher, you fighters, outlaws and outsiders. Some call me a renegade, the enemy. Throw your hands up if you feel the same. Oh, live your life at the edge. Just say what you wanna say, or walk away. I'll stand tall when there's feel the pain. Ain't no power.
Outlaws and Outsiders by country's rising star Corey Marks, featuring the country music icons Travis Tritt, Ivan Moody of Five Finger Death Punch, and Mick Mars of Motley Crue. Off the Nashville Nights EP, this song is a global hit, receiving more than over 100 million streams worldwide. What an accomplishment. Incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Now let's talk about Who I Am, and I love the title. Just, you know, means something really special to me because I know you personally. And this album debuted top 10 country charts on iTunes globally, with number 2 positions in Canada as well as in the United States and Australia. So congratulations. That is so incredible for you.
It really is, and I'm really thankful for that. It was quite the release, and you know, again, having to release a record during a global pandemic is something scary, but like you mentioned before, to know that not more than a year and a half later, it's got, you know, over 100 million streams globally. I'm proud to say that I'm the first ever Canadian country act to have a U.S. top 10 rock hit at rock radio. And that was one thing in the phone call that Travis reminded me of. That, so I hope you realize just how big this is and how proud I am, you know. And he said, you know, you also gave me my first rock radio hit in my career. So I thought that was really, really amazing. You know, considering
I didn't even think of it that way. That's really cool. Very cool.
So, you know, that was it's been a very special album for me, and I'm just glad that fans from the country genre, rock genre, hard rock genre, even metal are loving the sound and the songs.
And it's nice for fans, just a reminder, to listen to front to back, because if there's songs on this album, Who I Am, then you can request it at your local radio stations and they will play it for you. So whether country or rock, you know what, it suits them both. And I'm telling you, this is just one album you do not want to miss. We're going to be talking about your latest and your current single, your high energy rock heavy single, and that's Blame It on the Devil. Man, I love this one.
Yeah, I mean, this is all obviously, you know, a boot stomping, whiskey drinking, country rock anthem, of course, featuring Tyler Conley of Theory of a Dead Man and Jason Hook, formerly songwriter and guitar player for Five Finger Death Punch. Also, both Canadians, you know, have made a big
two of my favorites. Always will be.
You know, a great impact on music themselves, you know, just with their own releases and on a global scale. So having those guys partner up with me has been you know, a true honor, and they're just this again just great dudes that were kick ass at what they do and awesome to work with. So I'm thankful for their participation on this song, adding their own twist and their own you know, their own little, you know, flavor mm-hmm. to the song, making it even bigger and better. In my opinion, of course, Jason Hook's guitar solo was
amazing,
so awesome. He's incredible, and I love listening to it every time. So
God, I'm loving it. I love it because this is the rock version, and maybe fans out there, you know, in the UK and that haven't heard the whole album, you've got the country version and you have the rock version, and we're going to be playing the rock version, but man, I'm telling you, can't stop playing this one. Such a great song.
Thank you.
Tell us about meeting Tyler. I've shot him so many times, and he's just such an amazing artist. Tell us about working with him and working with Jason.
Oh, it's been easy. It's been great. I mean, you know, when I was out for the movie premiere of The Retaliators, yeah. that I'm featured
Look
in.
Look at you and your cameo.
It's pretty cool. You know, to walk my first, I never walked the red carpet at the CCMAs or CMAOs here in Canada. The first one I ever walked was in LA for a movie premiere. And I think that's really cool. I think the dog's excited too.
Yes, apparently.
Yeah, it's they're great to work with. Very easy to work with, and they've been great friends. I went out to dinner with Tyler in LA, and we just got, you know, just hung out, and they're just very easy down there with people. And you know, I stayed the night at Jason's just in Vegas last week or a couple weeks ago. When we finished, I went down there for a week to finish the new record, and it was pretty awesome too. He has this great, incredible setup at the house with all his guitars and amps, but he also has a wicked V-drum set up there. So
nice.
I got to his house, and once I sat behind that kit, he picked up a guitar. We must have jammed out for about 2 hours before going out for dinner. It was a blast.
Oh man, you must have loved that.
It was awesome. I kept telling him too, it's so good to be back behind a kit.
Oh gosh. Oh man. Oh, I got a special question I'm going to ask you in the burning questions on something very similar to that. So very cool. We are going to play this one right now. So here is the latest single, Blame It on the Double, by country rocker Corey Marks here on Music's Journey.
I tried to bow my head, put down the bottle like my grandma said my daddy did. I love her like a wailing song, but old number 7 was damn too strong. Back road, the radio loud, pushing 85 and burner 1 down. Twist the cap off and pass it around, feeling alright now. One thing that I do well is race some hell. Full moon on a Saturday night, throwing down whiskey till I swear I ain't looking for trouble. Don't blame me, man, blame it on the double. Before the drinks hit the floor, we're busting out the front door. Black label's gonna bring out the rebel. Don't blame me, man, blame it on the double.
Yeah, blame it on the double.
15 before last call, I'm shooting back Jack, just putting out a fireball. The boots on, maybe 6 feet tall. I wanna love her like a butterfly, just like a dolly doll. Like girl on the wrong side of town, drunk ex-boyfriend running his mouth. Oh, my drink, it's about to go down. Feeling all right now. One thing I know too well is raising hell. Yeah! Full moon on a Saturday night, throwing down whiskey delight. Well, I swear I ain't looking for trouble. Don't blame me, man, blame it on the double. Before the drinks hit the floor, we're busting out the front door. Black label's gonna bring out the rebel. Don't blame me, man, blame it on the double.
Yeah, blame it on the double.
That was Blame It on the Double by country rock artist Corey Marks off the Nashville Nights EP, laying down the gauntlet with his current single. I am telling you, Canadian country radio, the new outlaw in Canada is here, and he's here to stay. So whether or not it's rock or country, you have us all on the edge of our seats waiting to see what you're going to be coming out with next, let me tell you.
Well, I could say that I'm really excited about this new album that we just finished up in Vegas. I can actually say it's a little more country this time around. There's a lot more country on this record, but there are those songs that are right between crossing over. And we did focus on a few, you know, without a doubt, hard rock songs. So it was something different for me and exciting to be writing slightly differently. You know, I mean, you look at something like Outlaws and Outsiders, it is country sound, but with just that rock and roll attitude. But to write and like to sit there and actually write a hard rock song is a little bit different.
It's a
different vibe. So we've got at least three hard rock songs out there. One of them is out right now called In Me I Trust. It's available on all streaming platforms. And of course, a cool video on YouTube. It was a lot of fun to shoot. So there's going to be songs in that kind of mix of hard rock on the record. There's going to be a lot of country too, and a lot of in between. So, and some pretty cool covers on this next record that I'm really excited to share with the world.
Well, you know what? We're going to play this one right now. So here is In Me I Trust by country rock artist Corey Marks here on Music's Journey.
I ain't going down, not going to hit the mat. Swing all you want.
That is In Me I Trust with country rock artist Corey Marks here on Music's Journey. I am telling you are leaving your mark, my friend, and we cannot wait to see what you're going to be coming out with in 2022 off this new album, because I know you've been working really hard on it and getting ready for it. And see, as I said, perfect timing is the reasons why You know, sometimes you might not be out on the road the way that you want it to be, but you've played some pretty great shows. That's for damn sure. So what's next for you? What's coming up for shows?
Well, right now, we're working on some dates here in 2022 in the first quarter. Nothing solidified yet, but there is some pretty interesting stuff coming up that hopefully we can lock in soon and announce in the early new year. And just we're going to plan that along with my first release off this record to radio. Mm. So now that the album's done, we're going to get it all queued up, figure out what the singles are going to be, and hopefully hit the road early on in 2022 and throughout the rest of the summer and into the fall.
Do you know when you're releasing the song?
We don't have a date yet. I'm hoping, you know, I'm just going to put this out into the universe. I'm hoping for a February release for the first one.
Okay. I'll have you back.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I can come back and get that new single out there.
Love it. I love it. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So album, do you know the name?
Don't even know the name. It's that fresh. Like we just got, like I got back, well, it'll be 2 weeks on Sunday that I got back from Vegas to finish this. And I've been thinking of some ideas. I can tell you that the album is really based on, you know, it's really based on my passion for flying and what it's been like throughout this whole pandemic. There's some songs about that as well. And I think it's really, thanks to Kevin, it's really, you know, based on flying. A lot of it has to do with my passion for flying and aviation.
See, snippets of time in Corey Mark's life. So that's really, really cool. Do you have time for a few questions?
For you, absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Drums or guitar?
I'm going to say drums just because I'm much better at drums than I am guitar.
Okay. If you could own any drum kit from any artist that they have played, past or present, who would it be and why?
That's easy. That would either be the, I'm trying to think of the name of the tour, that was probably the R40.
Oh, nice.
R40 Rush drum set, Neil Peart's drum kit. Of course, because in my opinion, the greatest of all time, he is the GOAT. God bless him. And I just thought it's the first time I ever saw gold on a drum kit. The whole drum, every stand, bracket, or rim is 24 karat gold. So that's pretty epic.
Very cool. Very cool. You and Jeff Dizell are going to have to get together and do a little bit of playing. You just never know.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Name something that you're irrationally afraid of.
Something that I'm afraid of?
Mm-hmm. Irrationally afraid of, like extreme.
Extremely afraid of? Probably suffocating.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. I would be too.
Yeah. It's definitely, I think it's, I'll tell you the story. So I was at a weightlifting camp when I was about 12 years old, 13 years old. It's like a weightlifting, camp here in North Bay. And we would do that, typically train every summer prior to the next hockey season. And there was this little game that we played, and it was those big, huge mattresses, but essentially they used to like for you know, pole vaulting and stuff when you jump over and you land on that. So they had these two mattresses, and part of it was at the end of you do all these squats and deadlifts and stuff. It was the very end. It was a game. And what they do is you pick two people, and everyone had to do it. But then everyone else in the class was on the other side of that mattress, and there's two of them on each side. And what they do is you start running, and then they close the mattress on you, and you gotta fight through it. And it's fun, right? Like it's vertically. So you fight through it, and it's like it's a workout at the same time. What happened when I was with my buddy Liam, they tipped it over.
Oh.
So then the mattress on one side that we're laying on, and the mattress, which is massive and heavy, mm-hmm. is on top of us at the same time with the instructors and the kids that jumped on top of the mattress.
Oh, geez.
So I'm like, I can't breathe, and I start freaking out. And it was only like 10 seconds, but my gosh, it felt like I was in there for 2 minutes. And I thought, like, that's it, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I get flashbacks of that, and it's so crazy. And I literally get anxiety from that, because that freaked me the hell out. Yeah. So I'm going to say suffocating.
I can relate to that. Going through COVID, I can relate to that. Because I had COVID, and, you know, when it comes to the breathing end of it, unless you go through it, you don't understand. And it's just, it's difficult when you cannot breathe. And that panic that sets in, you just can't help it. The anxiety just builds. It's crazy. Absolutely. 100%. Definitely understand that one. Okay. Name three things that we would find in your house.
Three things that we'd find in my house. Guitars, airplanes, and Jack Daniels.
Ooh, see? I could have named all three of those. That's really cool. I know you better than that. Okay. All right. Name the most painful thing that you've ever had waxed.
I don't think I've ever been waxed.
Oh, come on. You're disappointing me. Come on.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I don't think I've ever been waxed. I've had tape stuck to my arm. That sucks. but other than that, I've had my hair pulled.
Oh, that's also not fun.
Well, it depends on what kind of situation you're in. It can be fun, but I mean, I'm just being real here.
He's calling you out, Emily.
I'm also calling out my buddies who have kids, you know, and they're little babies, and they actually grab your hair and they don't let go. And that is the worst. And I feel horrible because they're cute little babies, but it's just so frustrating.
Yep.
Especially in the morning.
Ah, man, I'm telling you. Okay, last one. What is your best, most useless talent?
My best, most useful talent?
Useless.
Useless talent. Okay, mm-hmm. Useless talent.
Got to make it interesting. My best,
most useless talent. Oh, I would say, God, I don't even know. I really don't know. That's
maybe I'll name that one for you later.
Yeah. I'll let you figure that one out. My most useful talent is trying to think of my most
useless talent.
Useless talent. When I'm caught off guard.
Touche. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Corey. And we really look forward to seeing this new album come out. Look forward to having you back. And congratulations on your success for your flying.
Thank you, Kim.
As well as your gold, as well as the album and your two EPs. Man, you know what? You are just getting started. And man, we are set for a ride.
Absolutely. Better buckle up.
Oh, say hi to your parents for us. Wishing you a very happy holiday and your beautiful girlfriend there. And we will talk to you very, very soon.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate you. Merry Christmas. All the best in the new year. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for having me.
I want to remind fans, if you love the music that you've heard today, you can download Nashville Nights EP on all streaming platforms. And you can share it on all your playlists. And you can request them at your local country radio station or your rock station for that matter. And don't forget, you can download the brand new single out right now, and that is In Me I Trust by Corey Marks. A great big thank you to Corey for coming on the show. I can't wait to have this very special artist come back. You're going to be hearing an awful lot about this young artist. I'm going to have some great shows coming up for you. I am interviewing David Boy Janes, Alex Hughes, Lemon Cash, Cross Parallel, Rock Band Weapons, Taming Sari, Annika, Kira Lynn, Voice Winner, Jake Hoot is back, FKB, Jamie Warren, The Washboard Union, and so many more. Don't forget, you can check out all of my podcasts at musicsjourney.com for more about the artist interviews that you do not want to miss. You can also check out the articles that I write on all the artists that you know and love with all of the latest music, videos, and reviews, and more at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I will see you next time here on Music's Journey.